while Ardsdale Baptist Church brings you the Word of God with practicality and simplicity. As you listen to this message, we trust that it will equip and empower you to find and fulfill your purpose.
Good morning. Can you all hear me? Good morning to you all. Good morning. It's nice to see so many faces this morning. Welcome again to you today. Sunday service. Happy Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Say to someone next to you, Happy Resurrection Sunday. It's a bit of a tongue twister, isn't it? Happy Resurrection Sunday. Pastor's looking for his friend. Okay. Welcome to those who's joining us online, and welcome to you all in the sanctuary. A very warm welcome to our visitors here today, and congratulations to Noel and Shiva on their decision to be baptized as well. We look forward to witnessing the baptisms a bit later. Do you know that for a believer, Resurrection Sunday is the best day in the entire calendar? Amen. Do you know that?
Yes.
Yes? Resurrection Sunday is better than your birthday. It's better than the day you met that man or woman. It's better than the day you bought that house. It's better than the day you got accepted into that job. And it's better than the day you got the incredible exam results when you thought you were going to fail. Do you know it's even better than Christmas Day? Some children might not agree with me, but literally, today is the best day in history. It's a day that defied all odds, the day that sets us apart, us Christians, apart from all the other faiths that exist. Because today represents the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Okay, let's get to it. Today's sermon title is The Weight of a Stone. Now, the scripture that was read to us just a few moments ago was from Luke chapter 24, verse 1-9. And it's the account of Jesus's resurrection. There are other accounts recorded in the three Gospels, so in Matthew, Mark, and John. And as I was preparing the sermon, I found myself asking lots of questions through the verses. And I'm just going to share with you some of the questions that I had. So we begin this chapter in verse 1 with women who had come with Jesus from Galilee. Now, these women were getting ready to visit Jesus after he had been crucified and laid in the tomb. In the book of Matthew and Mark, they say Jesus' mother Mary and Mary Magdalene were part of these women. But when we look at Luke, it just refers to the women with no further information about them. Now, because of Jesus' crucifixion, they wouldn't have ordinarily had the time to prepare him for a proper fitting burial, so they were now getting ready to do these things. Now, the women would have known that Jesus' body was kept in a secure place because there was so much controversy around Jesus' death. They knew he was in a secure tomb where no one would have access to him. So here is my first question, and it's actually the same question that's in the account of Mark chapter 16 and verse 3. It says, and they asked each other, who will roll away the stone from the entrance of the tomb? Now, for some context, the media team have a picture, and they'll put up a picture of what the tomb would have looked like. So the tomb is the main kind of dark bit, and then the stone on the left, no, on my right, yes, would have been the stone that was used to cover the tomb. So thank you, media team. But you know, even without knowing the answer to that question, they went to the tomb anyway. These women were heartbroken. They were devastated. Now, I imagine they were probably crying from the moment Jesus was crucified through to Saturday, and then even Sunday when they went to see him in the tomb. They were feeling hopeless that the one they believed to be Rabbi, Master, Messiah, King, their ultimate hero, had been killed. He was brutally murdered. He was gone. They couldn't bring him back, so they did what they knew to do. Sometimes for us, we go through challenges, we go through pain, trauma that is absolutely crushing. And when you go through things like that, you feel like it's just too much to bear. And we stop praying. We stop talking to the only one who can do something about where we are. Now, these women had no hope, no expectation, but they did what they knew to do. They went to the one they believed in, even though they felt hopeless and helpless. Verse 2 says this: they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. So that was absolutely fantastic. The problem was solved. There was no issue about how they were going to get access to Jesus. But you know, I imagine the women standing there outside the tomb, just pausing, their hearts beating loudly, trying to gather the strength to go in and see the most powerful man they ever met in a state of powerlessness, just laying there cold and lifeless. I imagine they looked at each other, one saying, "Mary, are you ready?" And the other one saying, "No, Mary, I'm not ready. But come on, let's do what we came to do." Verse 3 and 4 says, "But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them." My second question here is, why were there angels there? Why wasn't Jesus? Why didn't he just appear to these women? Well, we know that angels are God's messengers, and that's how God chooses to share the news about Jesus. Angels share the news about Jesus' birth in Luke chapter 1 and 2, and now they're here to share the news about Jesus' resurrection. But just as when Jesus was born, the angels didn't share this news with people who are important in society. Jesus' birth was announced to Mary, this young, unassuming, virgin girl who was to be his mother. Then after her, shepherds. Equally, Jesus' resurrection was announced to women who just wanted to go there to get Jesus' body ready for a burial. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27 says this: "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." And that should give us great comfort. The fact that God wants to make a significant announcement of hope, joy, peace, and love through you and through me. Your eloquence, your accent, your age, your experience, none of those things matter. Even your level of faith doesn't disqualify you. He wants to give you a message so you can share it with other people. Okay, let's go back to Luke now. Now, these women were afraid when they saw these men. Who were they? Who are these men? Where did they come from? What have they done with Jesus' body? Should we run? But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living amongst the dead?" When I was a teenager, I used to really, really love watching EastEnders. Confession time. But we all did in my house. It was like a family activity, okay? So I would always plan where I was going, what I was doing, so I can get back in time to watch EastEnders. Ricky, Bianca, all of that. I absolutely love it. But it was bad. Yeah, Ricky, Bianca. But when it was time, whoever was in front of the TV would shout, "EastEnders!" And everybody would run downstairs and sit in front of the TV. It didn't matter what we were doing. We would all gather together and watch it. And on Sunday afternoon, they used to do like a back-to-back of all the episodes. Oh, some people are nodding. It's not just me then. I don't feel so judged. That's good. Oh, you just know about it. Okay, fine. And you know, on Sundays, I still used to watch the back-to-back episodes. So I'd watch it through the week, and then Sunday after church, sit down and watch it all over again. I've been delivered from it, okay? So I'm grateful to God for that. But can I just say, if EastEnders or any other TV shows or program is a stronghold in your life, we're here to support you, okay? You don't have to go through it alone. Now, some of you watched it, but some of you just know it, right? If you know EastEnders, there's something called a duff-duff. moment. Yes? And what that means for those who don't know, it's like a cliffhanger moment at the end of the episode. So they'll do the scene and it'll be really, really exciting, and they will end on that scene. It will go doof, 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 right? And then you want to come back and watch the next episode. Christmas and New Year, oh my days, those were the big ones, right? Major drama, and then it will end. I say all that because I feel like the question that the angels ask the women is a duff, duff moment. Why do you look for the living amongst the dead? That question, it encapsulates, sums up beautifully the entire point of Luke chapter 24. That question was critical for the women, but actually it's also critical for us. And I want to ask that same question in a few different ways that might be even more relevant to us today. Question one, why do you continue to look for hope in hopeless places? Question two, why do you try to find answers in a world like unbelievers when God has given you his word? Question three, why do you believe that friends, spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, family member can help you more than God can? Question four, why do you hold on to the past when God has told you what will happen if you just trust him? Then the angel said to the woman in verse 68, he is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. You see, the women had forgotten, but the angel reminded them. Jesus told them this would happen all along, but they watched him die a brutal death. Then nothing happens for 2 days. The trauma caused them to forget, but they remembered his words. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 1 to 3 says this, my son, keep my words and store up my commands with you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. We as people are prone to forgetting anyway, let alone when there's trauma, pain, or loss introduced into the equation. Our natural response to difficult situations is panic, fear, negativity, but God wants us to remember. He wants us to remember, especially in those difficult times. That's why the scriptures are full of God's promises. Tell someone next to you, don't forget to remember. Tell somebody else, don't forget to remember. Okay, now it's important for me to say at this point, there's a difference between information and understanding. When Jesus told them that on the third day he would rise again, at the time, to the women, it was just information. It was nice to know. It was a bit like all the other parables where Jesus told different stories. Those parables that people struggled to understand, and they barely retained it because of that. Even though they knew it was good and useful, it was just information. Now, when the angels showed up and reminded them that this was the moment Jesus was talking about, this is what it looks like for Jesus to defeat death and the grave, they finally understood. It's not enough for us to read scripture as a source of information. All scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, but when we read the scripture, we should always ask ourselves this question. What does it say about God? And what does it mean for me? If not, we just come to church to fulfill our religious duties, just as the women who went to the tomb went to fulfill theirs. You see, we all have religious freedom, but not all of us has spiritual freedom. Spiritual freedom comes with a relationship with Jesus. The intimacy in the relationship we have with him gives us an understanding of who God is and what your identity is in Christ. So let's go back to Luke again. So after hearing this, the women would have been full of joy. They came to prepare Jesus for his burial, and they left with a message of his resurrection. This is the best outcome they could have hoped for. I imagine them running back, looking forward to sharing the news about the angels, but more importantly, telling people about Jesus. They could go back and share the message that he wasn't there because he had risen. They could remind all the other people who also knew what Jesus said, but had forgotten. Okay. I want to just focus on the stone for a moment. Do you remember the media team put up the stone, the picture of the stone on the screen earlier? Now, I wanted to show you something about the stone. So I needed one to demonstrate what I wanted to show you. I tried my best, and you have to believe me, I tried my best to buy a stone that looked just like that one from eBay, from Amazon, but they were all sold out. So it's Easter Sunday, so maybe some other people got there before me. But I want to show you something. I'm going to do it slightly differently now. Emmanuel, I'm going to need you. So please come and stand right there. Okay. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to ask a couple of people to stand for me. So can I please have Serena stand up? Shantice, stand up, please. And Simone, she's at the back. Okay. What I need you to do, please, ladies, is to go to the back and receive something from Pastor. He has something to give you. I've asked him to give you something. And then I'll give you another instruction. Okay, so the ladies are at the back with something. And what they're doing is standing at the back, and each of them has either a weighted medicine ball, which is a weighted ball used for exercise, or a weighted bag, which is also something used for exercise. Simone, how does it feel to carry? Shout it. It's very heavy, okay. Shantice, how easy was it to lift up from the floor? Semi-easy. Okay, good. Serena, how comfortable is it to carry on your shoulder? Not very comfortable. Okay, thank you for your answers. Now, I want you to take it in turns to come to Emmanuel because he has something to give you. So, Serena, please come forward first. And then Emmanuel's going to give you something. And then if you can just stand over here for me, Serena. Thank you. And face the congregation. Okay. Simone, can you please come? You're struggling there a bit, are you? Okay. There you go. Okay, please stand next to Serena. And Shantice, please come. And receive your gift. Thank you. Okay. How easy was that to carry and walk up to the front? It wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
It was fine because it's an okay weight to carry, right? Okay. Simone, how was that for you? Yeah? Yeah? She says, yeah, yeah. And Shantice, how did it feel carrying? It was okay. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Okay, you can put the weights down safely. Yeah, mind your backs. And just wait there for me. Don't go just yet. So, Pastor gave you the weights at the back to carry. And I asked you to come to Emmanuel to receive something, correct? Okay. Did I ask you to bring the weights? You brought the weights. You chose to carry the heavy weight when all I asked you to do was to come and receive something from Emmanuel. You know, Emmanuel, as you probably all know, his name means God with us, and he conveniently, for this illustration, represents Jesus, right? He was waiting for Serena, Simone, and Shantice, all the three S's, and they chose to bring the unnecessary weights along with them. And we all do that, you know? Jesus says, come, and we're carrying all sorts of weights along with us when we don't need to. Thank you very much. And now I'm asking you specifically, please take the weights back, because I'm not doing it. You can keep that. Thank you, ladies. Please give them a round of applause. Thank you. I have a disclaimer. All those three ladies have done Fit Temple. So Lillian has already made them train with the weights, so they know what they're doing. I didn't want any health and safety issues. And also, this illustration might be a sign that you need to sign up for the next Fit Temple, you know? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2 says this. In New Living Translation, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us endure the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding the shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. The stone is anything that represents a barrier between you and Jesus. It could be sin, doubt, trauma, fear, anything that causes us to forget who Jesus really is. If the stone isn't rolled away, we continue to live our lives like the tomb is still closed and Jesus is still crucified and dead. So please don't let the weight of sin, shame, pain, brokenness stop you or break your focus from Jesus. Don't let it slow you down or make you weary. Don't become entangled with the issues so much that you take your eyes off the path to your risen King. The sin of the Old Testament is that they did not believe in God the Father. The sin of the New Testament is that they did not believe in Jesus the Son, and that's why they crucified him. The sin of today is that we do not believe in the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 verse 11 tells us, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Never forget for a moment that as a believer, you are in a spiritual battle. The enemy doesn't want the stone to be rolled away. He's happy for us to exercise the minimum level of faith where doubt can so easily creep in. He doesn't want us to walk in the fullness of who God has called us to be. He wants us to remain behind the stone, believing that yes, Jesus is a healer, rabbi, miracle worker, but he is not the risen King. He's not the risen King who has come to give us peace, joy, hope, and victory. Don't be fooled. The enemy is not after your money, your marriage, your health, or your children. He's after your faith. He knows the power of having faith and confidence in God. He knows that if you stand firm in your faith, when you lose your job, your health, or your son, you are victorious. He knows that if you're in the darkest valley and you're still declaring, even on a bad day, my God is good. He is defeated. If God moves our hearts, what moves God will move us. And if anything is in God's way, it will move away. If God moves our heart, what moves God will move us. And anything in God's way will move away. He wants whatever is acting as a stone to be moved away so there isn't anything that comes between us and Jesus. On Resurrection Sunday, it's a reminder for us as believers that we must not forget to remember. He is risen. We must not forget to remember he is risen.
We trust that you've been blessed and believe that this message has brought you greater understanding. For more information, or to follow up on what you've heard in this message, visit us on www.phbc.org.uk. God bless you.